हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। डियर डिवोटीज, यस्टरडे वी स्टार्टेड द सेकंड कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड दिस वॉज द फर्स्ट टाइम सुखदेव गोस्वामी वॉज स्पीकिंग एंड ही ग्लोरिफाइड द वंडरफुल क्वेश्चन और क्वेश्चंस बाय परीक्षित महाराज मोस्टली बिकॉज देवर फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ ऑल पीपल फॉर ऑल टाइम्स फॉर ऑल प्लेसेस। सो द सेकंड थर्ड एंड फोर्थ वर्स वॉज वॉट शुड नॉट बी हर्ड चेंटेड और वर्शिप्ड और रिमेंबर्ड बिकॉज दैट इज फॉर द बॉन्डेज विच इज मटेरियल कंसेप्ट ऑफ द लाइफ एंड वर्स फाइव इज द मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट वर्स इन दिस सेक्शन। द सेक्शन वन द थीम इज सुखदेव गोस्वामी आंसर परीक्षित क्वेश्चन एंड ब्रीफ बाय एस्टेब्लिशिंग द सुपीरियरिटी ऑफ द भक्ति एंड द वर्स नंबर 5 and 11। These are the two most important verses in this section as far as the superiority of the bhakti and the limbs of the bhakti are concerned. So yesterday the verse number 5 was actually extraordinary verse because that is the beginning of Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti. And we had a question based on that bhakti. That how, what is the relation of chanting and service to the Supreme Lord and what is the destination? And that question was based on the purport of verse number 5. I request at least two of you good students write a sweet and short answer to this question from the purport of verse number 5. That we will discuss tomorrow. And then the 6 and 7 verses actually. See, verse number 6 was, whatever the process one follow, if he is not following exactly the bhakti, he may be following the Sankhya, which means the analysis of the matter and spirit, or he is following Ashtanga Yoga, or he is following the Varnashram Dharma. But the perfection is that ultimately he remembers Narayan. If he comes to that conclusion, then they are useful, otherwise they are useless. And then the verse number 7 was speaking that even those liberated souls, prayana munyo rajan nivrta vidhi nishedaha, means they are above the rules and regulation, nirgunya, they are beyond the three modes of material nature, but still they are attracted by the pastime of Supreme Lord, by the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. That was the last verse we did. Now, say Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, what is the example of such person? So this 7 verse says, what is the proof? Have practitioner of other paths really attained success by practicing bhakti? Yes, many self-realized sages, jnanis and yogis take a great player and glorifying Lord. What is the proof again? So today we'll discuss this verse, and this verse number 8, 9, and 10, these three verses, Sukhdev Maharaj is giving his own example. He's giving him as a proof that I was already liberated beyond the rules and regulation. I was already Brahma realized. But I was attracted by this Bhagavatam. I studied this Bhagavatam under my father and spiritual master Vyasadeva. And it means the description of the wonderful qualities and pastime of Lord, they can even attract the most exalted self-realized person like myself. So this section will go like that, and then the last part we'll discuss. So we are starting with verse number 8. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samittam Adhitvan Dvapradau Pitraha Dvaipayanat Aham. So this is scripture concerning the Supreme Lord, Idam Bhagavatam Nam. So Bhagavatam means one, the scripture which is in relation to God, spoken by God, are spoken about God. So these are the three general ways to describe Bhagavatam. Is a Puran equal to Lord Himself? Puranam Brahma Samhitam. Brahma Samhitam means it is like equal to Supreme Lord Brahma, or it includes all the Vedic truths, because it is the mature commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the Vyasadeva Himself. So it is as good as Supreme Lord Himself. I learned this scripture, Adhitvan Aham. Adhitvan means I studied. From my father Vyasadeva, Pitu. Pitu means father. Dvaipayanad. Dvaipayanad is the name of Vyas. See, Vyas is not a name of a person. Vyas is the name of a seat. One who explains and expand on the Vedic literature is called Veda Vyas. But this Veda Vyas, who appeared at the end of the Dwapar Yuga by name Krishna Dvapayana, his official name was Dvapayana. Dvapayana means he was born on the island. And it's called Krishna because he is blackish in color. So his name is Krishna Dvapayana. Veda Vyas is like a title, like a president, like a prime minister. It is a title. Anybody who sit on an asana and speak about the scripture is called Vyas. So generally Vyas and Samas are the two words. Vyas, Samas means in short, and Vyas means in detail. Veda Vyas. So my father's name was Dvaipayana. And when did you study this? At the beginning of the last part of the Dwapar Yuga. Beginning of the last part. If you know, every yuga has three parts. The middle part, which is the main part, and then the beginning part and the end part. That is called Sandhya. So every yuga has three portions. The major portion is the middle one, which is the major. Then one is the beginning and one is the end. So the beginning of the end of Dwapar, it means the last small portion of Dwapar, in the beginning of that, my father appeared, which is more or less contemporary of Sri Krishna. So at the end of Dwapar Yug, Dwapar Adav, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas, Brahma Sangitam. From my father Srila Dvapayana Vyas. Give me some specific example. Take my example. I learned this Bhagavatam from my father Vyasadeva. So even those who are already liberated, like Sukhdev, they take interest and they are attracted by the pastime of Supreme Lord. So now Srila Prabhupada is now we know the translation by Srila Prabhupada of this word, at the end of Dwapar Yuga. I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature. Great supplement of Vedic literature means Bhagavatam Puranam. Named Bhagavatam, which is equal to Veda, means Brahma Sangitam. From my father Dwapayana Vyas, okay? the scripture concerning the Supreme Lord, means Bhagavatam, is a Puran equal to Lord himself, Brahma Samhitam. I learned this scripture from my father Vyas at the beginning of last part of Dwapar Yuga. This is Chakravarti Pad. So, let's read first Srila Prabhupada's purport and then go to Chakravarti Pad. The statement meant by Srila Sukhdev Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulation restriction, that is the verse number 7. Verse number 7 said, those who are beyond the rules and regulation and beyond the three modes, they relish the transcendental qualities and the pastime of Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is narrating the, paraphrasing the verse number 7. Mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying personality of Godhead. That is verified by personal example. It means he is giving a proof. I am that person who was already Brahma realized, but I was attracted by the pastime of Krishna. So Sukhdev Goswami, being recognized liberated soul, is known as Brahma Nishtha, and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all the topmost sages present in the meeting. It means those who were assembled at that time. Anybody knows where Sukhdev spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj? A place?
Sukhatal.
Very nice, Ajay. Sukhatal. How many fortunate soul has visited that place?
I visited Prabhuji.
Okay, one hand is up. Somebody visited.
I have also visited Prabhuji.
Okay, two. So one Ajay has visited. Who is the next one who visited?
Yes, Prabhuji, I am. Sovereign Gauranga.
Alright, very good. So rest of the all student of Bhagavatam must make a point when we next time come to India, you just make a point to visit this holy place where Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. This is at the bank of a branch of the river Ganga. It is easily from Delhi, it's a 3 hours drive or something like that on the way to Haridwar. We have to go some 24 kilometer inside and one side. And there is a beautiful ashram made and the place where he was sitting under a banyan tree. Still many people do Bhagavat recitation there. So Sukhatal. So this is a place where Sukhdev appeared. And actually speaking, geographically, next to the Sukhatal is a place still called Hastinapur. At the bank of a river Ganges. Still that place is there. Is by name Hastinapur. And little far away from there on the bank of Ganga is Vidur Kutir, where Mahatma Vidur was residing. So this is a geographical location of the Bhagavatam when it was spoken by Sukhdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. It makes a sense that Hastinapur is nearby and this place Sukhatal is right there. So Sukhdev Goswami recognized liberated soul by all transcendent present there. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking of all the recognized people at that time on the planet who were all sages were present there. And they all accepted Sukhdev as the topmost transcendentalist. So Srila Prabhupada, he is giving the proof of his own attraction to Srimad Bhagavatam. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father Sri Dvapayan Vyas. Now Srila Prabhupada is giving a principle. The principle is this. Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter any other scientific literature, cannot be studied at home by one's own intellectual capacity. Then Srila Prabhupada is giving common example, medical science, anatomy, physiology, they have to go to the college and study under a guide, professor, learn it. Similarly, so there is to convince the modern men that you cannot buy Bhagavatam and study at home. You have to join a recognized institute where the people who have already studied are there to help. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of science of God. What is Bhagavatam? It's a postgraduate. So undergraduate study is Bhagavad Gita. So postgraduate study is a Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is this science of God? And sometimes Prabhupada used to say science of love of God. Science of God or science of love of God? Generally, Bhagavad Gita is science of soul and the relationship with the Supreme. And Bhagavatam is science of the love of God. And Srila Prabhupada said, I preach this all over the world, not as a religion, that my religion is better than your religion. No. I preach as a science of soul and science of love of God. Now, if somebody has to study Bhagavatam, which is postgraduate, it must be at the feet of realized soul, like Vyasadeva. Although Sukhdev Goswami was liberated from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lesson from Bhagavatam from his great father Vyasadeva. Oh, who compiled Bhagavatam? On his own? No. Under the instruction of another great soul, Sri Narada Muni, just to keep the parampara intake. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is the advice now. Now this was the principle. If you want to study any Vedic scripture or any other science, you have to accept the institute and some learned and self-realized professors to teach you. So now Srila Prabhupada is giving that Mahaprabhu has given advice about studying Bhagavatam. So principle is over. Now Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahman to study Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavat. So he said, Bhagavatam Giyate Bhagavat Istane. If you want to study Bhagavat, go to a Bhagavat person, the one who lived the life according to the Bhagavat. Then the result will be fruitful. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam is based on. So, what is in Srimad Bhagavatam? In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of transcendental name, form, attribute, pastime, entourage, and originateness of Supreme Person. And it is spoken by the incarnation of personality of God as Srila Vyasadeva. So this is the little introduction of Bhagavatam, what is in the Bhagavatam and who compiled the Bhagavatam. Pastime of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees. Pastime of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees. It means Lord is never alone. He is always with his pure devotees, and his pastime are always with liberated a nitya siddha or rag atmika bhakta. Krishna is never alone. He is always with his associates. And consequently, therefore, historical incidents are mentioned in this great literature because there are people, they were in history like Pandavas, they have relation with Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Mahabharata is spoken, so there is a history. Because they are related to Krishna. So there is what is the philosophical reason that why we are interested in Kurukshetra? Because it is connected with Krishna and his devotees. So what is the principle applied here is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe means we have no relation. But if it is related to Krishna, we have all relation with. Nirbandha, I have no relation. Krishna Sambandhe, because it is connected with Krishna, so we are attached to that place or a person. Now, taking the meaning of the word from this verse, it is called Brahma Sanhita. Bhagavatam is called Brahma Sanhita because it is sound representation of Krishna. Brahma means sound. Brahma means Ved. Ved means sound representation of God. It's called Brahma Sanhita because it's sound representation of Lord. So what we call what is Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of Krishna. It's called Vangmaya Swarup. You know, Vang means Vani. Vang means Vak. Vak means words, which means sound. The word for Bhagavatam is Vangmaya Swarup of Sri Krishna. Vangmaya. Vang means words, sound. Like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is sound incarnation because it is spoken by God. And Bhagavatam is sound representation. Now these two simply Prabhupada's explanation of the Bhagavad Gita is sound incarnation. And Bhagavatam is sound representation of Lord. Why it is sound representation? Because it was spoken by incarnation of Lord about the activities of the Lord. Vyasadeva as an incarnation spoke about Krishna's activities. Now Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse number 2 of the first canto. Verse number 3. As stated in the beginning of the book, the sense of Vedic desire tree, Nigam Kalpa Trugalitam Phalam. This is the verse now paraphrased. Natural commentary on Brahma Sutra. The topmost philosophical thesis on the subject matter of Brahma. Therefore it is called Brahma Sangeetam. Because Bhagavatam is a natural commentary at the maturity of the same author Vyasadeva about Vedanta Sutra. So that is called Brahma Sutra. So this is a Brahma Samhita. Now Srila Prabhupada is explaining the Dwapur Adav word of the verse. Vyasadeva appeared at the end of the Dwapur Yuga as a son of Satyavati, a fisherman's daughter, Matsya Gandha, by Parasar Rishi. And therefore the word Dwapur Adav or beginning of Dwapur Yuga in this context means just prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga. So last part of the Dwapur Yuga. The logic of this statement regarding Srila Jiva Goswami is comparable to that of calling a upper portion of the tree the beginning, because you see the upper portion first. Root of the tree is the beginning of the tree actually, but in a common knowledge the upper portion of the tree is first seen. In that way the end of the tree is accepted at its beginning. So the whole idea is Dwapur Adav means in the beginning of the third portion of Dwapur Yuga, which means just beginning of the Kali Yuga. So we are going to the verse number 9. Again, Sukhdev is speaking his own position. Parinishto api nairgunya uttama shloka lilaya grahita cheta rajarshe akhyanam yada adhitvan. O king rajarshe, Maharaj Parikshat, though I was fixed in Brahma, parinishtha api. Parinishtha means completely fixed in a Brahma realization. It means self-realized. Brahmavadi, not Mayavadi. Because not offended to the personality of Godhead. And beyond the gunas, nirgunya, I was beyond the three modes of material nature. My mind become attracted, grahit chetaha. Cheta means mind or consciousness. Grahit means attracted. To the pastime of Lord, uttama shloka lilaya. Lilaya means pastime. I thus learned about his pastime, means the pastime of Supreme Lord. Akhyatam tad aditam. Aditam means learned, and akhyatam means all the stories. The summary of the verse is, despite the fact that I was fixed in Brahm, the pastime of Lord attracted me so much that I was forced to learn them from my father. That is the meaning of this verse. So, Srila Prabhupada writes on this verse. Okay, I have not read the few lines of the in 8th verse. I was supposed to say a few lines about Chakravarti Kapad's commentary. He said, what is this astonishing work not heard before? True, it is astonishing. That is explained in this verse. It means Bhagavatam is astonishing work. Bhagavatam means that is spoken by Lord or concerning Lord. So Bhagavatam means spoken by Lord or concerning Lord. Or Idam Bhagavatam can mean this work which is about the Lord. This scripture is filled with the pastime Lord, revealed through question and answer between you and me, Parikshit and Sukhdev. It contains realization of Atma through discussing creation, maintenance and destruction for the benefit of you and others. It is the cream of all the Upanishads and is eternally and eternally perfect. It appeared through my father Vyas. It is equal to the supreme Brahm or established Brahm, Brahm Samhitam. How did you obtain it? It was taught to me. Meaning of scripture is impossible to learn by dint of one's intelligence. Since Vyas appeared in Satyavati not long before Krishna's appearance, he could not appear at the beginning of Dwapara Yuga. Thus, Dwapara means at the end of Dwapara. So this is the explanation, and Srila Prabhupada elaborated on this purport. So Srila Prabhupada's translation, O saintly king, verse number 9. I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, means what is the proper perfectly transcendent means? Parinishto. Yet I was attracted by delineation of pastime of Lord, Grahita Chetsa Uttam Shloka Lilya, who is described by enlightened verses, Uttam Shloka. I was beyond three modes of material nature, that is perfectly and transcendence included in this. Though I was fixed in Brahm, Chakravarti Pad writes, which means Nirgunam. First word of the verse. Parinishto api Nirgunam. I was fixed in Brahm and beyond the guna. My mind became attracted to the pastime of Lord. I thus learned about his pastime. I will tell them to you. You are a great personality who among the faithful will quickly fix your pure mind on Krishna. And this is the meaning of the verse number 10. So Chakravarti Pada has taken 9 and 10 together because this is connected to the Sukhdev Maharaj. So I am reading direct Srila Prabhupada's purport first. The absolute truth is realized as impersonal Brahm at the first instance by philosophical speculation, means jnanis. It means the Sukhdev was Brahm realized person in the beginning. And later as a super soul, which means Paramatma, that is the goal of yogis. And by further progress of transcendental knowledge. But if by the grace of Lord, an impersonalist is enlightened by the superior statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into transcendental devotee or personality of Godhead. Now what Srila Prabhupada is giving us, that those who are Brahmavadis, not Mayavadis, they can be attracted by hearing Bhagavatam. There was a real story of a person who was a Vedantist in Banaras. He was only studying Upanishad. Once a Vaishnava Brahman at his home, because there was sun was born or something, though there was Sutak, so he cannot recite every day Bhagavatam as usual. So he went to that saintly person. He said, "My dear sir, in my house I cannot serve the Bhagavatam. Can you read at least one chapter a day on my behalf?" He said, "I have nothing to do with Bhagavatam. I am interested only in Vedanta." He said, "Can you do this service?" He said, he accepted this. And as soon as he started reading Bhagavatam, he was so enlivened and attracted by pastime of Krishna, so he gave up all his Vedic literature and every people. He came to Vrindavan. He took initiation from Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And then he was walking throughout the bridge and challenging all the Mayavadis, "Come and talk with me what you are speaking of Vedanta." His name was Krishnadas or something like that. So what Srila Prabhupada is writing is, if fortunate impersonalist or Brahmavadi come in contact with the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord and get access to the Bhagavatam, then they can become a great devotee, and then Sukhdev is one example of that. Now Prabhupada is writing, with poor fund, this is for the Mayavadis. With the poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of personality of the Absolute Truth and the personal activity of the Lord are developed by less intelligent impersonalists. They are the Mayavadis. So there is a Brahmavadi and there is a Mayavadi. Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadi. He is offended to the Krishna because he destroyed the personality of Krishna. But Brahmavadi, he is not offended to the personality of Godhead. But he is more interested in Brahm. So Bhagavad Gita, verse number 3, 4, 5 is speaking about Brahmavadis, not actually Mayavadis. The Mayavadis are spoken in 9th chapter, 9-11. Typical 12, 11 and 12 is Mayavadi. But the reasons and argument, together with the transcendent process of approaching the Absolute Truth, help even the staunch impersonalists to become attracted by the personal activities. So some fortunate impersonalists can be attracted by reason, argument, logic by Mahabhagavat devotees, and then they can be attracted to Krishna's pastime. A person like Sukhdev Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity. This is a proof. It means the activities of Supreme Lord are transcendental. But when such devotee is convinced by the superior method, and what is the superior method? By the superior method,
hearing the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, this is, next verse will speak superior method is Avaroha Pantha. The next verse will speak superior method. He is certainly attracted by transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are his activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. Neither inactive nor impersonal. Verse number 10. Tadam te abhidhasyami mahapurushaika bhavan yasya shardhattam asho syana mukande mati sati. I will tell them to you. Tell them means Bhagavatam. Tadam te abhidhasyami. I will tell them to you. You are a great personality. Bhavan Mahapurushaikaha. Who among the faithful, yasya sharda dhatam, will quickly fix ashusyat your pure mind, mati sati. Sati means chaste, pure. Mati means intelligence and mind. On Krishna mukande. The summary of the verse is, now, in response to your questions, I will speak the same Bhagavatam. Because you are the great personality, Mahapurushaiko. Hearing this scripture will quickly fix you, your pure mind on Krishna. Now, in support of this verse, there is a very similar verse in 284 that you will do in your this session. 284. Shrinvatam sadaya nityam granatas chasvacheshtitam kale nati dirghena bhagavan vishate herde. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of God and Sri Krishna manifested in their heart within short time. The next similar verse is in 3718. 3718, maybe next session which you will undergo for Bhakti Shastri. Convinced that the jiva does not actually suffer loss of knowledge, but not yet realizing it directly, I will destroy this lack of this realization and by service to your lotus feet. Aratha bhava minischitya. These are some verses quoted for this. Anyway, the point is, Sukhdev Maharaj is going to enlighten Parikshit Maharaj about Bhagavatam, and he is confident that this Bhagavatam will bring his consciousness focus on Krishna, because he is Mahapurusha Eka and he is very faithful. So Srila Prabhupada's translation on this verse, that very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you, because you are the most sincere devotee of the Lord, Krishna. Purushaika, Mahapurushaika. One who gives full attention with respect to hearing Bhagavatam means Sardadana. Achieve unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation, Mukunda, Sati Mati. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now see what we said, superior system. Here the line says, Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom and the system of receiving knowledge is called Avaroha Pantha. Superior system is Avaroha Pantha and inferior system is Aroha Pantha. And then there's a comparison of the two systems, the material knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. So Avaroha Pantha means bona fide disciple instruction. For advancement in material knowledge, which is Aroha Pantha, there's a need for personal ability. You must be able and qualified. And you must have a research aptitude. But in case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. Very important line actually in this purport. You may not be qualified, you may not have a personal ability, you may not have a research aptitude, but if you please the spiritual master, yasya prasada bhagavat prasadam, then all the Vedic truth will be revealed to you by his causeless mercy. The spiritual master must be satisfied by the disciple. Only then the knowledge automatically manifests before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood. This Prabhupada is quoting some personality very much famous in India. The spiritual master said, I touch this disciple and all my knowledge, energy and everything is transformed into him. He is now enlightened and I am empty. So Prabhupada is quoting, this is a misconception of the transmission of spiritual knowledge. A very famous example in India. The process should not, however, be much misunderstood to be something like magical feat, whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects spiritual knowledge into the disciple, into his disciple, as if surcharging him with electrical current. This was a typical example given about Vivekananda and Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He said, I gave everything to Vivekananda, I don't have anything. And he was surcharged. This is the actual example. So Prabhupada was thinking of this. Bona fide spiritual master reasonably explain everything to disciple on the authority of the Vedic wisdom. It means he follow the Shastra and Sadhu and Guru. A disciple can receive such teaching not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and service attitude. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Not intellectually, but submissively, with inquiry and service. What Prabhupada is coming to the conclusion, if the spiritual master is bona fide and disciple is also bona fide, like seed is potent and land is also fertile, then the result is definitely there. So now Srila Prabhupada, in this case, spiritual master Sukhdev Goswami is ready to recite exactly what he has learned from his great father Vyasdev, means disciplic succession. And the disciple Maharaj Parikshit is a great devotee of Lord Krishna already. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he. And what is the definition of devotee of Lord Krishna? The devotee of Lord Krishna is one who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. Can you figure out what Prabhupada is writing this?
I can understand that a devotee does not need any outward things to move ahead in life. A devotee of Krishna is he who believes.
What you mean by believes means?
He has a faith. Who has firm faith.
Yeah, now, but when you say faith, then you can, I think, recall a very nice and famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shardha sabde vishwas kahe sudhrna nischaya Krishna. Anybody remember this verse?
Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai.
That is what actually paraphrased in a different way here. Krishna Bhaktva is one who has a firm faith that by serving Krishna everything will be completely achieved.
Can you tell the verse number in Chaitanya
Charitamrita? It is quoted in Bhagavad Gita, I think, in some of the earlier chapters. I think in Vivasaya Atmika Buddhi, I think it should be there. Yeah, it is there. I think there is some intelligent immediately he quotes among you. Anyway, this is what I can see is this verse is paraphrased here. This teaching is imparted by the Lord himself in the pages of Bhagavad Gita, in which he clearly said, now Srila Prabhupada is speaking of Krishna Bhakti is one. Now, the another definition. Sarva dharman parityajamam ekam sharanam varja. In Bhagavad Gita, this is the verse. Only makes one perfectly pious man, how can he be pious? What is the, in this verse, what is about pious? Sarva dharman parityaja. I will free him from all sins, so he will be a pious man automatically, perfectly pious. So, the first is Chaitanya Charitamrita quoted, Sardha Shabde Vishwaska, and next Sarva dharman parityaja is quoted. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepare one to become a student of Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Sukhdev is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Parikshit did. Salvation here means free from material bondage and reinstated in its own spiritual glories. Now Prabhupada is comparing the so-called nowadays Bhagavat reciters, professional reciters of Bhagavatam, and the pseudo devotees whose faith is based on 1 week's hearing are different from Sukhdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Because that is mostly in the mode of passion. All whole throughout is mode of passion. Srila Vyasadeva explained Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukhdev Goswami from the very beginning of the Janamadyasya, first verse. And so Sukhdev Goswami also explained to the king, Lord Krishna. King. Okay. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurusha. Now Prabhupada is coming to the Mahapurushaika word. He wants to explain the word Mahapurushaika. So here at this stage, I want to just go back to the Chakravarti Pad's insight in this verse. So I should also attend this rare thing. Oh, it says, this verse explains, though I was fixed in Brahma, my mind become attracted to the pastime of Lord. I am the proof that the pastime of Lord are sweeter than the realization of Brahma. I should also attend this rare thing. I desire that you should make me tasted from the head to foot. That is what Parikshit is saying. Seeing this eagerness in Parikshit, Sukhdev speaks, you are a person who could attend Krishna, who is Mahapurusha, Mahapurushaikaha. Or it can simply mean Mahapurusha following the words like Vinaya, which become Vinayika without changing the meaning. This is the Bhagavatam having faith in which the pure mind will quickly be fixed on Lord, Mukanda Mati Sati. Or you are a great personality whose mind, when it has a faith, will be fixed on Lord. It should be understood that the Bhagavatam was heard from the first verse starting from Janamadyasya to the last word, ending with Vishnu Ratam Amumanchata. This verse is in the last verse of the 5th chapter of 12th canto. Thus, though Suta spoke the verse of the first, Suta spoke the verses of the first canto and the rest of the 12th canto from the 6th to the 13th. The following statement is completely acceptable. O Ambarish, please hear continually the Bhagavatam spoken by Sukhdev. It is in Padma Purana. Now, this is just information only. Sukhdev begins speaking in second canto as we have started, and he finishes with 5th chapter of the 12th canto. Suta speaks the first canto and the remainder of the 12th canto. This is just an information. Now we are going back to the Srila Prabhupada's continuity of the purport.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I wanted to ask when Srila Prabhupada mentions these devotees who read Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 week, do they just, I mean, I've never seen something like that, so can you tell me a little bit about that?
So anyway, you are not aware, in India, every day there may be 100 such 7 days Bhagavatam Saptas are going on by professionals.
Okay.
Oh, they complete this whole Bhagavatam. They go from, say, few verses here, few verses there, and they complete everything in 7 days. So this is a professional thing going on. So Prabhupada is saying it's not like that Parikshit and Sukhdev in 7 days, because there was only 7 days left for Parikshit. But these people are doing like that. In India, it is a very fashion.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Sukhdev Goswami. Yes.
Sorry for the interruption. This Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Supreme Lord to Brahma, and Brahma spoke to Narada, and Narada in the decision is coming.
Yes.
But the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam was Chatushloki Bhagavatam to Brahma. And discussion of Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, that is, now what we are having is around 18,000 verses. Is it the same, what we are reading is the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. Now if you go a little bit ahead before, was it the 18,000 verses? Because at that time, the discussion of Sukadeva, questions between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva, they are not there.
Everything is there. We have a history of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a continuous, always. It appears and disappears like Supreme Lord appears and disappears. First time Bhagavatam was spoken by Uddhava on the back of the Kusum Sarovar by Govardhan to the Vajarnab, the great grandson of Sri Krishna and the queens of Krishna. Parikshit was only present during the introduction. This was first time Bhagavatam was spoken. Then the Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukhdev to Parikshit. And exactly in Padma Puran there are the dates, how much time after Sri Krishna's departure, how many years after that Sukhdev spoke. And then there is another example. The Sanat Kumar spoke Bhagavatam to the Narad Rishi at Haridwar. And then the Bhagavatam was spoken by Suta Goswami to the Naimasharanya sages, which is what we are reading from the beginning. So this is what he heard from Sukhdev when he was speaking to Parikshit. He simply narrated it there. So actually, this all is the same Bhagavatam, questions and answers in this way. So what Srila Prabhupada is really telling us here, the theme is that Bhagavatam should be started from the first verse to the last verse. It should not be taken from the middle, here and there. That is the whole idea. What is in Bhagavatam, who spoke, when spoke, where spoke, there are different histories. Because it's a continuous flow. So Srila Prabhupada is now concluding what is Mahapurusha. So Janamadiyasya, from this to the last verse. And now what is Mahapurusha, Prabhupada saying? Mahapurusha, there are two verses in 11th canto about Mahapurusha. And these two verses, our Acharya described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by these two verses. But the one verse is exactly fitting on Ramachandra also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as a Mahapurush because he is non-different than Krishna in these two verses. Deyam sada paribhava ghanam abhishta doham tirthas padam shivavran chinotam sharanayam Vrataya arati aham pranatapala bhavabdipotam means a boat to cross the material ocean. Vrata ariham bhapranata, those who take shelter, he took away all their troubles. Vande mahapurushta charana arabindam. And this is the verse which exactly is both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Lord Ramachandra. Tyaktva svadushteja supreshta rajam lakshmin. One was giving up the whole kingdom of Ayodhya, Ramchandra. One was giving up Lakshmi Priya, Vishnu Priya. Dharamishta arya vachasa yad agada aranyam. O dharmas arya vachasa, he followed the words of his father Ramchandra and went into the forest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took sannyas and travelled in the different forests of Jharkhand. Maya mrigam daitya peshtam anavadhavad. This Maya mrigam means the marich came there. And this is what happened. Vande Maha Purushte Charanara Vindam Sodibotar. These verses, our acharyas, this is from Bhagavad Dharma 11th canto. Ekar Bhajan is speaking, the one of the now Yogendra. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport, in other words, Purush means enjoyer, Mahapurush means supreme enjoyer. The Supreme Personality regarded Sri Krishna as Mahapurush. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord Krishna is called Mahapurushaika. So one who wants to approach Mahapurush is called Mahapurushaika. So anyone who hears Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide recital is sure to become a sincere devotee of Lord, who is able to award liberation, Mukunda. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Parikshit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He is the Acharya of Sharvan Bhakti. And there was none so qualified as Sukhdev Goswami to recite the text of Bhagavatam, a Kirtan Acharya. Therefore, anyone who follow in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or ideal teacher, hearer, Sukhdev and Maharaj Parikshit respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. Maharaj Parikshit attains salvation by hearing only. Sukhdev Goswami attains salvation only by recitation. They are perfection actually. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of nine devotional activities. And by strenuously following the principles, either in all nine or by parts one, two or more, attain the absolute plan. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavan beginning from Janamadyasya, verse to the last one in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, 23rd verse, Nama Sankirtan Yasya Sarvapapa Pranashanam, spoken by Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit. And Parikshit got salvation. In Padma Purana it is mentioned that Gautam Muni advised Maharaj Ambarish to hear regularly Bhagavatam. You know Ambarish, the Ambarish Tila means the Ambarish Tila is in Mathura. And Ambarish Maharaj was in Mathura when Durvasa Rishi came. So there is a place of Ambarish Maharaj in Mathura at the bank of Yamuna.
Madhuvan
there. Yeah, Madhuvan and Mathura, there is an Ambarish Ghat, there is an Ambarish Tila and all this is there. So Bhagavatam was heard by Ambarish Maharaj like that, from the very beginning to the end. It was spoken by Sukhdev Goswami. So one who is actually interested in Bhagavatam therefore must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here, from a portion from there. One must follow in footsteps of great kings like Maharaj Ambarish and Maharaj Parikshit and hear from bona fide. Now verse number 11. You have any question or comment till now?
Hare Krishna Guruji.
Yes.
Guruji, I have one question from the verse 9 and 10. Here in the both of verse, one point is discussed. Determination, nishtha. So actually all the sages had determination over there. So they were the eligible to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. But here I am not qualified. I don't have such a quality. So how can I develop this quality? And what are the ingredients and components of nishtha so I can develop this quality?
Actually, all those who were present at the Sukhdev's assembly were not Vaishnavas. All were not Vaishnavas. Therefore, we will have one discussion. Why in Bhagavatam there is a description of liberation and say universal form? We have nothing to do with Bhagavatam. So why is that? There are four or five reasons for that. Because the audience are at a different level. So this is our one, one topic we'll discuss maybe day after tomorrow or so, whenever we get time. For you, Srila Prabhupada has given us Bhagavatam as a fast food cooked with his wonderful commentaries. And he also gave us Association of Devotees and his temples, in which he has made the regular class of Bhagavatam. That procedure, if we follow, the perfection is definitely awaiting us. So Prabhupada has completely given a five potent limbs of bhakti. He gave us five limb bhakti for us to practice. He gave us wonderful deity worship. He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave us devotee association. He gave us Hare Krishna Mahamantra, holy name, chanting and chanting and doing kirtan and japa. And he gave us Vrindavan and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri as a dham. So if we follow this, even we are not qualified and we don't have a determination, but these five potent limbs of the bhakti are so powerful that even neophyte will get exekti or bhav bhakti. That is the explanation of Rupa Goswami. So we simply have to follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us in his Iskan, that is complete, perfect, and a unit which will take us back home, back to Godhead without any problem. And to think that I am not determined, that is a qualification that we are eligible for Bhagavatam. If I am eligible, then we are not eligible. So this, your question itself is qualifying you. And you are doing Bhakti Vaibhav, this is your qualification. You keep and continue this spirit, you will be successful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Advaita Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Advaita Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So nice to hear from you again.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the wonderful presentations. I just have a bit of a confusion to clear. So if I may ask you a humble question. In regard to the Brahmavadi, two examples of regularly quoted, that of Sukadeva Goswami and that of the Chatushana, the four sons of Brahma. So is it that they're completely unaware or maybe unattracted or simply just unaware of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? And or is it like it is something of an adhikar that they may know about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord but they're not attracted? Because if we see in the case of the Chatushana, when they actually had a desire to approach Lord Vishnu, and they were on the way to Vaikuntha. So is it that completely Brahmavadis mean they have no knowledge of the Namaguna Rupa Lila of the Lord and they're just completely situated in Brahman, or is it a mixture of things and it is just the Adhikar that is different?
Chatush Kumara, four Kumaras were inspired by their father Brahma, who is a Vaishnava. Therefore they approached the Vaikuntha and were actually enlightened by the mercy of Vaishnava. So Srila Prabhupada, I think these four which we are discussing, Jnanis, they are coming in the list of Jnanis. Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritin Varjana Gya Artho Arthi Jnani. In the list of Jnani, there is four Kumaras and Sukhdev Goswami. And both, okay, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and pure devotee become pure devotees. So what actually they are given here as an example, both are actually like four Kumaras are counted among the incarnation of Supreme Lord. But they have a special purpose to be the incarnation of knowledge, because they are Gyan personified. Chatur Kumara are Gyan personified. So they are a Acharya of the Gyan. And Narad on the other side is a Acharya of Bhakti.
Okay.
So they were, and Sukhdev Goswami on another side is actually a transcendental, Sukhdev is a parrot who is speaking to Radha Rani about the pastime of Krishna. He is a Sukha. But this is the part of the Leela really to show that such exalted personalities as a Brahmavadis can be attracted by the pastime of Krishna. So they are simply put into this sort of pastime to give the example to the world that such great persons are also attracted by Krishna's Leela. It means Krishna's Leela is beyond Brahm. Krishna is beyond Brahm. It's not Brahm is the supreme, it's Krishna who is the supreme. to establish this, these examples are given. And Brahmavadi, generally speaking, they know Krishna as a person, they know their pastime also superficially, but they are more attached to the Brahm. Because this is their liking.
Okay.
This is their liking.
Okay.
But they are not against the personality.
Right.
They are not offender, like the Mayavadis.
The Mayavadis, yeah.
They are not offenders, but they are not, they have their own interest in a Brahma.
And also we see that you hardly ever hear, like someone who's attracted to the pastimes of Sri Krishna will ever come down and become a Brahmavadi or a, you know, Ashtanga Yogi or attracted to Jnana Yoga. But it's always the other way around. Because, so, similarly, does it also, because there was some comment about the, when we're talking about Lord Narayan in chapter 5, in text 4 and 5, does it also happen that some devotees who are more attracted to Krishna, then they come down to the, you know, Vaikuntha Dhyan or something like that? Or is it always the way out?
The other way Prabhupada has written in a Nectar of Devotion that those sometimes from Vaikuntha can aspire to go to the Golok Vrindavan. But it's not that.
But never the other way around.
Yeah, not the other way around. We don't have such example.
Okay.
Generally speaking, in our own preaching efforts, those who are neophyte, those who are neophyte, those who have no faith in the scripture, they do come in ISKCON and then again go to for knowledge and for yoga and something. We have this experience of some people going for study of scripture as a jnanis and logicians and something like that. But they come back after some time because they see everything dry there ultimately. They do come back.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. We are going to verse number 11. One of the most important verses of this section, 5 and 11. 5 says three limbs of bhakti. Sharvan, Kirtan and Sumran. Sharvan means hearing, Kirtan means singing and Sumran means remembering. But three are too much. Please tell only one, because Kali Yuga we don't have a time. So this verse number 11 says only one limb, which is most powerful in itself like a king. And that is Naam Anukirtanam. Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichhatam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harerana anukirtanam. Is everybody alert on the in the class, or they are sleeping? I am not actually involving you, huh?
Not sleeping.
Oh, king Nirpa. Nirpa means king. Continuous chanting of the name of the Lord. Hare Naam Anukirtanam. Anu means continuous here. Has been prescribed Nirnintam. Nirnintam means its conclusion. For devotees, Nirvidyamananam, who has no desire. For those who have desire for liberation and material elevation, Ichchatam Akuto Bhayam. Akuto Bhayam means being wants to be free from miseries or fear, which means liberation. And for those satisfied with the self, Yoginam. O King, Srila Prabhupada writes, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the way of great authorities. Harer Naam Anukirtanam. Anu here means following the previous acharyas. So Anu has two meanings, following the previous acharya, and Anu means continuous. Is the doubtless and fearless way of success. Doubtless and fearless way of success. For all, Akuto Bhayam Nirnitam. Nirnitam means conclusion given. Akuto bhayam means doubtless and fearless. Bhayam means fearless. Including those who are free from all material desires, nirvidya mananam, devotees. Those who are desire of material enjoyment, ichchatam, they want something in heaven. Are also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, yoginam. So the summary of the verse is, I mention you that bhakti is topmost process, Sukhdev says, of the nine limbs of the bhakti. Kirtan is the topmost. So among the bhakti, because bhakti is the topmost process, in bhakti, kirtan is the topmost. Of the kirtan, there are three types of kirtan. We have in three types of kirtan, nectar of devotion. Anybody can tell me what are the three types of kirtan?
Loud one?
Yes, one is Nam, right?
And then in the mind?
Three types of kirtan as a limb of bhakti in our nectar of devotion. Anybody?
Personal in Sangha and on Harinam.
Naam Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Leela Kirtan.
Oh.
Naam Kirtan, Guna Kirtan and Leela Kirtan. Out of these, and in our nectar of devotion, there is a one quotation for each. So out of these three kirtans, the Naam Kirtan is topmost. So, bhakti is topmost process of all the processes. In bhakti, the kirtan is topmost, and in kirtan, the naam kirtan is topmost.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you talk about kirtan, you mean like congregational chanting together, or where is the japa here? Is it also included or?
See, I'm asking you a question. Sukhdev is Acharya of Kirtan. What is he doing? Is he chanting or chanting Hare Krishna or doing Japa? No, he's speaking Bhagavatam. So speaking Bhagavatam is also Kirtan.
Yes.
Kirtan means glorifying Lord. So glorify his name is Japa or Kirtan. Glorifying his pastime is Bhagavatam. Glorifying his teaching is Bhagavad Gita. So this all is Kirtan.
Thank you.
Yeah. So kirtan includes even preaching Bhagavad Gita as a kirtan. So kirtan, the technically word kirtan means glorification. Kirti means famous, fame. Fame means to how to glorify Lord. Okay. Loka Pavani is okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
Anybody have a question or something to say, sir, what we have discussed till now, up till verse number 10? I think we have two more verses to complete
Maharaj,
today.
Maharaj, I have a question. Right now you were discussing about Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. So many times those who are not very much aware about Krishna and they perform lot of pious activities, philanthropic activities, so there is no hope for them in coming closer to Krishna.
For whom?
Is there any hope for such people because they already do lot of good things? So is there any hope for them?
The hope is only association of devotees. The only thing which can help anybody and everybody from any stage of the life, from vikarma or from dhyana yoga or from jnana yoga to the bhakti, is association of devotee. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada established this Krishna conscious movement to give association to the different class of people, ultimately bring them to the devotional service. Is it okay? So we should read this purport. It's very lengthy purport, I think. This is very lengthy purport. Verse number 11. Chakravarti Pad writes, it is understood that in this scripture bhakti is described, means Bhagavatam as a bhakti. Among the angas of bhakti, which one is defined as the chief one, standing out like an emperor exerting power everywhere? So which of the angas of the bhakti is like an emperor? This verse answers, among the angas of the bhakti, hearing, chanting and remembering are the three chief ones. This has been stated in verse number 5. Among those three, chanting is the chief. In the chanting, however, there is a chanting of the Lord's name, His qualities and His pastime. These are three kirtan. Nam kirtan, guna kirtan, lila kirtan. Among those, anukirtan is the best. That means chanting the name according to anu, according to one's bhakti. According to one's bhakti means say if there is a Sakha Bhakti, then a special name of Krishna which is very dear to the friends. If it is a conjugal devotee's bhakti, then the name of the Krishna is a Gopinath or something. So names according to the bhakti are, it means continuous chanting. Anu means continuous. It is defined, nirnitam. It is already given a conclusion by previous acharyas, not just by me, Sukhdev says. Therefore, there is no need of inquiry for proof. In chanting, there is no fear of purity or impurity concerning time, place, person and utensils. This means even the outcast who cannot tolerate serving the Lord do not hesitate to chant, since even impure persons are allowed to chant. Moreover, there is no good, better or best for the sadhak or siddha. Sadhak means practitioner, siddha means perfected. So it's not that the siddha is doing perfect and that. No, there's no good, better, best. Everybody has to chant holy name. Chanting of those who are indifferent to all desires, like Nirvidya Nananaman, those who desire material things, Ichchatam, and thus meaning follows, it is recommended for unalloyed devotees, Nirvidya Nananam, for those who desire swarg, liberation, and for those who satisfy in self, yoginam. This means that according to these different methods, one will get corresponding result, not the same result. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been described. Mukunda, Mati, Sati. Mukunda means Krishna who gives liberation. Mati means mind or intelligence. Generally, Mati means intelligence. And Sati means pure, chaste. There are different type of person who desire to attain success in different variety of pursuit, means different paths. Karma, Yoga, Jnana, that is the different paths. Generally, the persons are materialist who desire to enjoy the full action of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists. So these are karmis. Now jnanis, they attain perfect knowledge about the nature of a material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such as an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. They are jnanis. Above them are devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. So not liberation nor enjoyment, neither jnani nor karmis. Thereafter the satisfaction of Lord, Krishna. In other words, the devotees of Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotee can accept all sort of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sort of facilities. Even up to the limit of salvation, they are not interested in. Nor are they self-satisfied only for their own personal purpose, because they want satisfaction of Krishna, Lord Krishna only. In this verse, Shukdev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And by offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with transcendental form of the Lord. Now remember this, because this is a question in your question bank. How by chanting, what are these stages, how we progress? So somebody should read from here carefully in this verse. Sukhdev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting, number one, and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, so then he can know the form. And when he knows the form, then with the attributes means, and then with the transcendental nature of the past, his pastime. Attributes means guna. So first chanting and hearing, then rupa means form, then guna, which means attributes, and then lila, which means pastime. So what we are chanting now, if we carefully hear same chanting and do it without offenses, then the form of Lord Sri Krishna Shyam Sundar will manifest. And next, his wonderful qualities like Bhakta Vatsal, like Dina Bandhu, like protector of the devotees, they will manifest, and then his pastime will manifest. So this is the sequence. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. That is the meaning of Anushkirtanam. Continuously chanting and hearing from authority. Both is the meaning of Anu means follow, Anu means continuous. This means that hearing from the authority is the first essential. Which means actually the holy name should be received in parampara, in a disciplic succession. That is the meaning of this line. The first thing is that there should be a disciplic succession. The name should be accepted in a parampara. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form. So first only we hear the name, then we hear about his beautiful form of Krishna, about his guna, attributes, about his pastime, and so on. Prabhupada is repeating same thing again. And thus the necessity of the chanting of the glories develops successfully. It means when we chant, then we gradually advance from the Naam to the Roop, Roop to the Guna, Guna to the Leela. This process is recommended not only for successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, nirnitam, concluded, not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas, yogi naam nirnitam. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. This process is recommended not only for progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive worker, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Can somebody explain this line? Therefore, somebody can read therefore and explain. Yes.
Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitful workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord.
So, what do you mean by this statement?
It's for everyone.
Yes, for everyone. But actually, what is a different department of ideology? Ideology means karmi, jnani, and yogi. These are the different ideologies. It is not only for their success. Means it's not during the time of practice. It is not only during the time of sadhana you need it. But for those who are already successful, means siddha, means who has got perfection, their achievement as a fruitive worker. those who are practitioner, it is not only for practitioner of a different path, but it is also useful for those who are perfected in different paths. So during sadhana and siddha, both it is useful.
Is that connected with Atmarama verse? When
Atmarama verse can be connected with the verse number 7, 8, 9, because Atmarama is a Sukhdev Goswami himself, and he is enjoying the pastime of Krishna, yes. But here it means the different path, karma, yoga, devotion, during their practice it is useful. Not only it is useful during practice, but it is also useful during perfection.
So during the practice it's for purification, and after the siddhi it's for their relishment and
for the relishment. Yeah, but it will continue. It's not that we will give up after that. No. Now after that, the rest of the purport is the 10 offenses to the holy name by Shri Jiva Goswami.
And oh, Prabhuji, can I make a small comment? Or is it because, you know, the natural propensity of the jiva is to glorify the Supreme Lord. So when we come to the platform of being purified, then we act in that capacity. So like the gopis or the Brajvasis, they're always glorifying Krishna. So is it maybe
the
just
point,
like that?
The point is that generally, the Jnani said we have to chant holy name during our practice. When we are perfected, when we merge into the Brahm, there is no need of holy name. So that is their understanding.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Srila Prabhupada is writing, not only during practice we need this,
okay,
but when That's we get point. Perfection, like completely, when we get Krishna Prem, still we have to continue chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada used to give another example. Mango is a mango when it is a green mango, is a mango when it is a half ripe mango, is a mango when it is full ripe. So we chant Hare Krishna in a beginning stage is like a green mango. But when we chant Hare Krishna in Golok Dham, then it is a completely ripe mango. So the process will continue. Only the taste will be more as we advance. But the process will be same. But the relishment will be more, increasing step by step. Now,
and in the perfected stage, the idea of chanting is to glorify more than to relish.
Yeah, it is a relishment.
Because in the beginning,
it's more relishment.
Yeah.
So
because we chant because we relish also, but in the ultimate stage, it's just the glorification of Krishna is more important. But we relish as a byproduct.
Yes.
But not. But in practice stage, the relishing is what helps us to practice.
All right. So rest of the purport I am not reading because there are 10 offenses Prabhupada has described in a little more general way. What we are discussing every day in the morning program, 10 offenses to be avoided in chanting holy name. So from Padma Purana, these 10 offenses Srila Prabhupada has, from different angle of vision, he has given the explanation of all 10 offenses to the holy name. So you can read them on their own, but definitely we should read the last portion. And that is, can you find this line? The effect of chanting of the holy name of Lord. You go almost one page down. The effect of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is perceived by chanter as liberation from conception of false egoism. Find out that line. After the
7th line from the end.
12th line from the below.
Seventh.
Oh, seventh from below, okay. So before that are the 10 offenses, okay. But you read this there very nicely, Prabhupada explained in a different vision, different angle. So the effect of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter by liberation from the concept of false egoism. The false egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world, and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of the oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism, I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconception. This is for personal application. So, Prabhus and all Prabhus, what do you think? We are chanting for almost 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. Have this chanting us brought us to the stage of being free from false ego?
Not yet.
So it means the process is very potent, but we have still some offenses. It means that. Because why Srila Prabhupada has given it after the offenses? Because if we have still some offenses, then this stage will not manifest. Well, this stage will manifest, then the rest of the perfection is very quick and fast. Actually speaking, our initiation, when we are given the title Das or Dasi, that is actually the indication that we should give up false ego and become a servant of Krishna or the servant of devotee of Krishna. Actually, that is the beginning. But we are not realizing it because still there are known and unknown offenses committed, intentionally or unintentionally. And therefore, this stage is not achieved. Actually, this stage, in other words, is humbleness. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishno namani namanadena kirtanya sadhari. If you are chanting holy name, anukirtanam, and if you are not reaching to the stage of humbleness and tolerance, which means to give up false ego, it means there is no stage of perfection. We are in the stage of practice. This is the perfect stage of kirtan. Okay, we are going to the verse number 12. Now this verse number 12, 13 and 14, I think. They speak about, because this our section is now changing. We are going to the section number 2. Quality of life matters, not quantity. One moment of Krishna consciousness is better than 1,000 years of tree life. So quality of life matters, not quantity. The life of Khatwang Maharaj is explained between verse number 12, 13 and 14. This is the section which we are doing now. So this is section 2 of the chapter 2. Sorry, section 2 of Canto 2, chapter 1. Quality of life matters, not quantity. And example for that is Khatwang Maharaj. And this goes from verse number 12 to 14. Kim paramarthasya baho bhi prokshahi hayanaiha varam muhurtam viditam ghatate shriyase yataha. What is the use of many years? Kim bahu bhi hayanai. Of materially engaged person, paramarthasya. Without noticing that, those years have passed uselessly. Parokshai. It is better, varam, to know viditam, that one moment is passed uselessly, muhurtam. Because then, yata, one can inquire into the best engagement, shriyase ghatate. The summary of the verse is, you have mentioned about bhakti as the topmost process. But I have just 7 days to live. Is it possible that I can achieve that? So, Sukhdev is answering, Maharaj Parishad, it is not the quality of the, it is not the quantity of the life that matters. It is better to have a one muhurat, which means 48 minutes, I think, of life, knowing about the best engagement, than have hundreds of years not knowing it. So that is the theme of this verse. Okay, now we are
going.
Yes?
Prabhu, here, muhurt means, here it is mentioned in the translation as moment.
Generally it says moment in English, but it is in astrology. There are muhurat, there is a ghati. And then a pahar, eight, there are eight portions of the 24 hours, three hours each. That is called pahar, ashtayam. So that is called pahar, and each pahar has a ghati, and each ghati has a murat. So this is more technical, like 24 hours something, 24 minutes or 48, something like that is a murat. Somebody can look what actually murat means, because Mohurat is a word used commonly. Oh, now I want to enter in my new house. What is the actually auspicious Mohurat? So these 24 minutes are something like that. So that is called Mohurat.
Yes, Prabhupada. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada writes, because Khatwang Maharaj has a Mohurat, so it's 48 minutes. He came from the heavenly planet. He came to his kingdom, and it took some time in that also. But then in the rest 25 minutes or 4 minutes, he perfected his life.
Yes, Prabhu. Nice, Prabhu.
So now Srila Prabhupada is translating this verse. What is the value of prolonged life which is wasted in experience by the years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, muhurtam. Because that give one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Chakravarti Sahaja says, Oh, I have very little life left. What practice am I supposed to follow? One should not worry in this way, Pariksha, Sukhdev says. This is expressed in three verses, means verse number 12, 13 and 14. Is giving hope to the Parikshat that you have 7 days. Only 48 minutes are sufficient for perfection. Don't worry. What is the use of living many years without knowing that they have been passed uselessly? To know that moment has passed uselessly is better, because by knowing so, one can make effort to spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Sukadeva Goswami instructed Parikshit Maharaj about the importance of chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive gentleman. Everybody should chant holy name, every progressive gentleman. Progressive gentleman means from karma to jnana, jnana to yoga, yoga to bhakti, like that. In order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life, Srila Sukadeva Goswami asserted that there's no use in living hundreds of years without any knowledge of the problem of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of the life is to return home back to Godhead, where life is eternal with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external feature of the material world and are engaged in the animal propensities of the eat, drink, and be merry type of life are simply wasting their life by unseen passing away of the valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success. And the easiest possible procedure is to attain this end is to chant holy name of the Lord. In the previous verses, we have discussed this point to a certain extent. And we may further be enlightened on the different type of offenses committed unto the feet of the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported a statement in the matter of the offenses at the feet of holy name. From Vishnu Yamal Tantra, Srila Jiva Goswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effect of all sins simply by chanting holy name of the Lord. Quoting from the Markandeya Puran, Jiva Goswami says that one should neither blaspheme the devotee of the Lord nor indulge in hearing the others who engage in belittling the devotee of the Lord. The devotee should try to restrict the vilifier by cutting his tongue, which we cannot do. Or being unable to do so, one should commit suicide. This we cannot do. Rather than hear the blasphemy of the devotee, what is the third option left? Go away from there. This is one of the items of the 64 limbs of bhakti and the nectar of devotion. If you hear blasphemy, you will lose all your credits. So there are three options: defeat opponent, cut his tongue, do suicide, and the third is get away from there. So that is the best way. The conclusion is that one should neither hear nor allow vilification of the devotees of the Lord. As far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name from the name of demigod, now Prabhupada is again, because it was not discussed in a previous purport, that the holy name should not be equal to the name of Brahma and Shiva. So Prabhupada is giving this here with a very different approach. As far as this, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, Ekansena Stito Jagat. All extraordinary powerful beings are but part and parcel of supreme energetic Lord Krishna. Except for Lord himself, everyone is subordinate. No one is independent of Lord, since no one is more powerful than or equal to the energy of the supreme Lord. No one's name can be as powerful as that of the Lord. By chanting the Lord's holy name, one can drive all stipulated energy synchronized from all sources. So whatever the benefit one can get from any other process, any other worship can be achieved through only by chanting holy name and serving Sri Krishna. Therefore, one should not equalize the supreme holy name of the Lord with any other name. Brahma, Shiva, others. The powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from sinful effect, but one who desires to utilize his transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded, means doing sin on the strength of holy name. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord. One should therefore utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means, without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to the prolonged life of ignorance, like the lives of the trees and other living entities, who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting spiritual advancement. I think this much was our quota, I think. Am I right?
Up to first verse 15, I think.
Okay.
I have
one timetable. What is the verse there? Let me see.
In the timetable, it says 15, but let's see. But,
yeah, it says 8 to 15, right. So 13, Khatvango Nama Raj Rishi Gyataviyatam Ihayushaha Muhurta Sarvam Utsarjaya Gatvan Abhayam Harim. The saintly king Khatvang, after being informed that duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. This is proved by example of Khatvang. Khatwang on one side of the Devata, Khatwang on the side of Devatas, means demigods, conquered the demons. The Devatas were pleased and requested him to ask for a benediction. He asked, first, please tell me how much more time I have to live. They answered, you have only a moment to live. He was silent. Quite quickly he came to the earth and surrendered to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes, a fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessity of the material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. The human life is meant for preparing ourselves for the prime duty. Maharaj Khatwang is mentioned herein as a saintly king, because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of the life. So we have not big business, but a king has so much kingdom to rule, but still they were very much awakened towards the spiritual needs. Such was the case with other Rajrishis like King Maharaj Parikshit, Yudhishthira. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Khatwang was invited by the demigods. This is a history that he was invited to fight on behalf of demigods. So benediction, they wanted, he said, I don't want to enjoy material, but Maharaj, very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about remaining duration of life. He never inquired from demigods to get benediction for any enjoyment. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benefit, benediction from the demigod, as he was to prepare himself to the next life. He was informed by demigod, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king had once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of highest standard, coming down to his earth to cultivate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment by a saintly king, was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the Sukhdev Goswami, even though he had only 7 days left in his life, to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly made the great Sukhdev Goswami and great treasure of his spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So verse number 14. Tathapi etarahi korvai sapta aham jivita avadhi upakalpaya tat sarvam tavad yatasam praikam. Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration life is limited to 7 days more. So during this time you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. But your time is there, 7 days, and on your hand. Do your sadhana. So Sukhdev Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaj Khatwang, who prepared himself for a next life within a very short time, encouraged Maharaj Parikshit by saying that since he still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of time to prepare himself to the next life. Indirectly, Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that he should take shelter of the sound representation of Lord for 7 days, means Bhagavatam, still remaining in duration of this his life, and thus get himself liberated. Sound representation of Lord means Bhagavatam. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was recited by Sukhdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. These rituals are not formal, but they are also some favorable condition which are required to be carried out as instructed thereafter. So So this is the advice to Parikshit. This section ends here. Now verse 15, new section is starting actually. So verse 13, one murta, that is so short. Khatwang Maharaj perfected his life in such one murta. Verse 14, you have not one murat, but you have 7 days. Make necessary arrangement for your afterlife destination. Now actually, there is one discussion which we may discuss tomorrow. I am giving you this statement. You work on this. Why is there so much discussion about universal form and other topics like liberation in Srimad Bhagavatam? This is a question. It is an Amala Purana. Bhagavata is an Amala Purana. Why? There is so much discussion about universal form and other topics like liberation. So we have many reasons. I have reason 1, reason 2, reason 3, reason 4, and reason 5. This in itself is a full 1 hour, more than 1 hour seminar. Actually verse 15 is a third section of the second canto, first chapter. This section goes from 25, verse number 15 to 25. Sukhdev Goswami present another popular opinion. Performing Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation. Why he is, after so topmost bhakti, why he is speaking this? So there are certain reasons for that. But anyway, this verse 15, Antakale tu Purusha Agate Gata Sadvasa Chintayad Asanga Shastrena Sparaha Dehe Anuye Chattam. The time of death having arrived, a man devoid of fear of death should cut off with weapon of detachment desires for the body and for things related to the body, such as wife and children. The summary of the verse is a person on this path, being free from fear of death, should be completely detached at the time of death. So, now, this section which I just told you is most important, why these things are here. Maybe this portion, I don't know if I am not a technical man, but I think I have this document. If I can send you, you will be benefited by this. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse is, at the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death, but one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desire thereof. The question was asked. Now this is the answer to the Parikshit Maharaj's question, what should a dying man do, Miryamanaya, in a 19th chapter of first canto. So you should perform yoga to enter into the Brahm with ease. This is the first answer. After giving up the body by your will through yoga, in this verse he speaks of the excellence of the yoga process, which was the opinion held by some sages in the great assembly. It's not personal opinion, but there are many sages were saying like that. Sukhdev's own opinion will be given at the end of the second chapter. So by the end of the second chapter, Sukhdev Goswami will give his own opinion. Devoid of fear of death, sadhavasaha, with a weapon of detachment, asanga shastrena. Cut off all desire for the body, tam. And the things related to the body, such as son and wife, you know. Srila Prabhupada's purport is quite lengthy, and we have almost finished our time. And I have next class, 7:45. So, is there some fast person who can read? I have done almost a lot today. Yes, Prabhu.
The foolishness of gross materialism is that people think of making a permanent settlement in this world. Although it is a settled fact that one has to give up everything here that has been created by valuable human energy. Great statesmen, scientists, philosophers, etc., who are foolish without any information of the spirit soul, think that this life of a few years only is all in all, and that there is nothing more after death. This poor fund of knowledge, even in the so-called learned circles of the world, is killing the vitality of human energy, and the awful result is being keenly felt. And yet, the foolish materialistic men do not care about what is going to happen in the next life. The preliminary instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is that one should know that the identity of the individual living entity is not lost even after the end of this present body, which is nothing but an outward dress only. As one changes an old garment, so the individual living being also changes his body, and this change of body is called death. Death is therefore a process of changing the body at the end of the duration of the present life. An intelligent person must be prepared for this and must try to have the best type of body in the next life. The best type of body is a spiritual body, which is obtained by those who go back to the kingdom of God or enter the realm of Brahman. In the second chapter of this canto, this matter will be broadly discussed. But as far as the change of body is concerned, one must prepare now for the next life. Foolish people attach more importance to the present temporary life, and thus the foolish leaders make appeals to the body and the bodily relations. The bodily relations extend not only to this body, but also to the family members, wife, children, society, country, and so many other things which are at the end of the life. After death, one forgets everything about the present bodily relations. We have a little experience of this at night when we go to sleep. While sleeping, we forget everything about this body and bodily relations, although this forgetfulness is a temporary situation for only a few hours. Death is but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily engagement, which we are aware of by the law of nature according to our aspiration. Therefore, one has only to change the aspiration during the course of this present body, and for this there is need of training in the current duration of human life. This training can begin at any stage of life or even a few seconds before death, but the usual procedure is for one to get the training from very early life, from the stage of brahmacharya, and gradually progress to the grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas orders of life. The institution which gives such training is called Varnashrama Dharma, or the system of Sanatana Dharma, the best procedure for making the human life perfect. One is therefore required to give up the attachment to family or social or political life just at the age of 50 years, if not earlier. And the training in the Vanaprastha and Sannyasa Ashramas is given for preparation of the next life. Foolish materialists in the garb of leaders of the people in general stick to family affairs without attempting to cut off relations with them, and thus they become victims of nature's law and get gross bodies again according to their work. Such foolish leaders may have some respect from the people at the end of life, but that does not mean that such leaders will be immune to the new natural laws under which everyone is tightly bound by the hands and feet. The best thing is, therefore, that everyone voluntarily give up family relations by transferring the attachment from family, society, country and everything thereof to the devotional service of the Lord. It is stated herein that one should give up all desires of family attachment. One must have a chance for better desires, otherwise there is no chance of giving up such morbid desires. Desire is the concomitant factor of the living entity. The living entity is eternal, and therefore his desires, which are natural for a living being, are also eternal. One cannot therefore stop desiring, but the subject matter for desires can be changed. So one must develop the desires for returning home back to Godhead, and automatically the desires for material gain, material honor, and material popularity will diminish in proportion to the development of devotional service. A living being is meant for service activities, and his desires are centered around such a service attitude. Beginning from the top executive head of the state down to the insignificant pauper in the street, all are rendering some sort of service to the others. The perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from the matter to the spirit, or from Saturn to God.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. So tomorrow from 16 we have to go till 24 or 25, something like that, right? So this is some yoga system, and then there is a universal form. So this one document which says five reasons why this is in Bhagavatam, that we will discuss tomorrow and go further. Any question or comment? Because time is over, but it's still, you want to say something? I think the one question in question bank we have addressed to the verse number 11, purport of the verse number 11, right? The stages of chanting holy name.
Prabhuji, in this verse we were talking about the quality of life and not the quantity which matters.
Yes.
But in the material world we see a lot of people who are, you know, really sick of the pains given by the material nature due to their karma. And what they talk about is, you know, leaving the body soon, as soon as possible. So what do you comment on people like these? How can we help them?
Can somebody rephrase the question of who is it? Shyam Kishore? What is it? Who is it speaking?
Vaishnav
Murari Das.
Murari,
huh?
Yes. So, maybe I can ask you tomorrow. You're getting late for the next day.
Okay.
Maybe I can ask you.
Some videos are not on Jagat Guru. What is Jagat Guru? Video is off. Oh, this is Pratik. Yesterday you could make it? No. Pratik, no. You are in train, right? This is Jagat Guru from where?
From Bhuvanesar.
Oh, Jagat Guru from Bhuvanesar. Okay, welcome. Are you understanding what we are discussing?
Yeah,
please. Is it everything okay?
Yeah,
please. More of this 48 minutes item of astrological details, right? More of this 48 minutes, I remember. Okay, thank you very much. See you tomorrow. 5:30.
Thank you,
bro. I don't know how can I send you this document. I'll see. You got the one page with which Ekanta requested yesterday. Ekanta, you got it?
Yes, bro.
Okay. So anyway, I'll see how to send it. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Prabhu.
Thank you,
Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
See you tomorrow. Is not too much we are reading? Is not too much we are reading? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay, Prabhu.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna.